Becky Meyer is with me here in the studio. Becky is the program director at Wolfridge Environmental Learning Center, a place we are all familiar with. And there's always news happening up there, always things going on. So it's really fun to have you, Becky, as kind of a regular. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And so the first thing we're going to talk about today is a new kind of exciting project that you are involved in. It's called Understanding Native Minnesota, a grant-based project. And why don't you just share with us a little bit of the background and what this means for Wolfridge and what it means for Minnesota?
Sure. So this project, Understanding Native Minnesota, is being funded by the Shakopee Mittewakanden Sioux, and we have partnered with them to really look closely at our programs focused on the Ojibwe people here in northeastern Minnesota. And we have a number of classes that focus on the natural history related to that community.
Yeah.
And so we have four consultants who are working with us to really re-examine how we are sharing their story and their roles in Minnesota.
And are these four consultants from all over the state, or where are they from?
That's a great question. So we have one individual who is with the Grand Portage Tribe. We also have another individual who is from northwestern U.S., and we also have another individual who is from the more Dakota representation. And then we also have someone else who's from another geographic location. So they're not all from Minnesota. We have one or two who are from Minnesota, and then two others who are representative of other communities. There are wonderful people who have other roles in the state of Minnesota who are really excited to be working with Wolfridge on this project. And they've been working with us since last June.
And is the idea that you will have a special curriculum that's sort of native based, or more of like integrating it into your whole curriculum so that it reflects the sort of backgrounds and histories and ethnicities of all Minnesotans? Or I don't even know quite how to ask that question, but
sure.
Like, what is it going to look like?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question. So we have a couple of classes that are very much focused on the Ojibwe people at Wolfridge. And we have a lot of schools across Minnesota who come to Wolfridge for particular interest in that to help with some of the social studies, you know, those academic standards. But there's also this desire to not just have it be like these one or two or, you know, three classes that are focused on the Ojibwe, but also to look at opportunities where we can immerse more information across the curriculum that would demonstrate that connection with the Ojibwe people and others broadly, you know, across Minnesota. So it's, you know, it's really primarily focused on the Ojibwe because they are the ones who, you know, occupied this space before us. But we also have the Dakota people
right,
in Minnesota.
Right, were here before that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. And, you know, where we started is let's focus really closely on this primary class at Wolfridge that was called Ojibwe Heritage. And we took a really deep dive into that particular curriculum to look at what are some of the strengths within what we are already doing, and where are their weaknesses, and how can we, you know, make some modifications to really strengthen our opportunity to share more about the Ojibwe people
right.
here in Minnesota.
Can you give, I get this is just beginning, but are there takeaways already? Like, are the things that you have learned or that Wolfridge has learned that are going to be implemented?
Yeah. So, one of the first things was to shift the, this is, you know, tiny, subtle things that we could just do differently to tell the story better. But, you know, the class was originally called Ojibwe Heritage and really was more of a look back in time and didn't do a very good job of communicating that, you know, the Ojibwe people are still here in our community today. So from Ojibwe Heritage to Ojibwe Life, that's one subtle shift that's been made. But then really what we're learning, there's been some hesitation from different individuals. When you're not of the community, it's difficult to put yourself in that place of sharing someone else's story, right? And so there's this anxiety and this discomfort with being that bridge. But what we've learned in working with these Native consultants is that it's a lot of work to put that on the individuals of those communities, and that they really appreciate that we are doing our best to help share their story, and to know that in addition to having courage to do that, that we do it in a humble manner, knowing that we may make mistakes, and to recognize that that's okay, but we're really doing our best to help shift the narrative around Native people in Minnesota.
And I bet it's actually pretty fun, because I bet these consultants are really fun people.
Yeah, they're just wonderful. And it's just really great to have their perspectives and their insights and to have their support, that they really want us to be sharing their stories.
Yeah, that would make a big difference, I think, in having the courage to just really... I mean, we do share a lot of different stories if we talk about American history. You know, we're not just talking about our own ancestry stories. We're talking about a lot of stories. So this opens that up in a new way. Do they come together at one time and you have these discussions, or are they coming at different times? What does it look like?
Yeah, so we've had so some of the work has been over, you know, you can imagine like a Zoom, you know, you know, online meetings and having discussions with, you know, some work in between reviewing and editing and, you know, sharing suggestions. But there have also been opportunities for in-person gatherings. And actually, the consultants came to Wolf Ridge this fall after we did some work over the summer and revisited the learning objectives and the outcomes for the course and modifications of just some of the activities. And they came and spent the morning working with, we had two Ojibwe life classes that were underway. So first time sort of with these modifications happening, and they came in and they were just observers to watching, you know, actual youth and our, and our facilitators, our naturalists teaching the, you know, these modifications. And then afterwards, they talked with the two different individuals who, you know, there are two different classes that took place. And they, the consultants spoke with each of them and just shared some of their observations from what had taken place during the class. And then after that, the group gathered, you know, over a lunch session to really talk about, you know, what were some of the challenges, what were some of the strengths, and just the input from the consultants on things that they were really appreciative and places where they thought maybe we could do a little bit different, you know, we could, we still had some room for improvement. So
neat. Well, and I would think it would be ideal. I mean, I do under, I think what you said earlier is, you know, they don't need it to be like, we have to be teaching this ourselves. I mean, that's a huge, a huge burden to place on, or just a responsibility. Now they have to be the ones to say all the words, but presumably you would love to have Native American or Indigenous staff to teach these as well. And so surely that's, is that part of the effort too, or how does that flow?
No, I think that's, you know, of course, we would love to have individuals representative within our teaching community to aid in, you know, and also just be representative of what Minnesota looks like, right?
Right.
But additionally, we are looking at, you know, how can we also bring in their voices, knowing that it may not be feasible to have our consultants, right, working with us in training every year. And so we're looking at different strategies to capturing that information so we can have it to share with the new crew of graduate naturalists and other staff who may join us. And also, you know, we go and visit Grand Portage and we connect in the community in other ways to help through training and just understanding before naturalists are teaching.
All right. Well, that sounds really fun. I wish I could be a fly on the wall. Let's talk a little bit. We'll change gears here and talk about summer. It's not too early to talk about summer. You are ramping up for another activity trip filled summer, I bet. Tell us some specifics.
Yeah. So we have our summer catalog is out for summer programming at Wolf Ridge. We're also in the process of accepting applications for the various summer positions. So we have, you know, everything from we're looking for counselors and naturalists. We're looking for adventure trip leaders. And then as far as our summer opportunities,
let's back up. Sorry. I just want to interrupt because I want to make sure it's very clear, like what age range, what experience range are you looking for?
So our counselors are usually, they typically are 18 and older. So they're those, you know, early college students who are looking for summer employment. Those are the individuals who have they're embedded more within the youth camp. So they're a really important part of our programming. I mean, they help to be, you know, in some ways like the adult chaperones who are with the youth during their learning opportunities in the summer programs. And then we have the summer naturalists as well as adventure trip leaders. Those are often individuals who have a little bit more experience. So they're probably in their early 20s. Not necessarily. We've had older staff as well join us for those different roles. And they often may have the undergraduate degree already in hand or pretty close to that that will come to join us. But yeah, so there's a variety of roles that we have, and we have a lot of applications that are already coming in. So if there's anyone who's interested, you can check out the website to learn more about those different positions and also how to apply.
And I know there's often local kids that end up working up there. So anyone in this area, or if you have friends, relatives, think about applying to Wolf Ridge. And then what are you going to offer this summer?
Yeah, so we have our traditional camps that will be offered all throughout the summer. We actually have one additional week of summer programming this year that we're offering. We have programming that is, you know, primarily like a traditional summer overnight kind of camp that's starting with grades, second grade and older. We also have...
Meaning they stay in cabins, but they stay at Wolf Ridge?
They stay at Wolf Ridge and do the overnight.
Okay.
And our camps typically run from Sunday 5 o'clock-ish until Friday, early mid-afternoon. And those are overnight camps. They come up and they stay in our dormitory and their bunk beds with, you know, other young people of the same age with their camp group and their counselors. We also have heard that there are some young people who maybe haven't had an overnight away experience, right? And so maybe a little bit hesitant to join Wolf Ridge for that Sunday through Friday experience. So we are offering this summer a little bit of a shorter overnight camp experience to kind of get a flavor for what an overnight camp might be.
Mm-hmm. How long are those?
Those, I believe, are 4 days.
Okay. So just a little shorter.
Yeah. And then we have some wilderness trips that we'll be offering, which are more for the middle and high school students. Those are also anywhere from 5 days to a 2-week experience.
And those are up in the Boundary Waters?
Some of them are in the Boundary Waters. We have both hiking as well as paddling experiences. And then we also are offering a sea kayaking experience up in Voyageurs National Park. Yeah, and we're going to try to do Aquatico experience
too.
So if you're interested in going a little further north in the Boundary Waters.
Great. Are these all for youth?
Those are all for youth, but we also have family camp opportunities. And we're offering an adult excursion into the Boundary Waters. So if you're not familiar with Boundary Waters and paddling experiences and you want to have that first time experience and be supported, we're hoping that we can introduce adults into that as well.
There are definitely adults out there who hear about the Boundary Waters. I know when I moved here, I mean, I did move right up into the Boundary Waters, so I had a kind of a crash course, but many others, you know, you hear about it and hear about it and hear about it, but unless you know what you're doing, you can't just exactly go and have a canoe trip by yourself. So
exactly.
Great. I hope it gets people out there that wouldn't have the opportunity to otherwise. I am speaking with Becky Mayer, Wolf Ridge Program Director. Thank you so much, Becky. Is there anything I forgot to ask that we have not covered?
I think we got everything covered this morning. I just really appreciate the time here with you and with your listeners. So
yeah, you bet. Well, stay warm.
You too. Thank you.
All right. That was Becky Mayer again, Wolf Ridge Program Director.